Lots for investors to munch on today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We get a slew of economic data in the next 40 minutes, including December retail sales, business inventories, and first-time jobless claims. There's already been a report detailing the number of foreclosure notices. RealtyTrack says December marked the 10th straight month with more than 300,000 filings. And as Marketplace's Bob Moon tells us, the numbers for 2009 are even more staggering.
Even as he allows that foreclosure numbers have been mounting for months and shouldn't come as a surprise, RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga still sounds amazed.
Some of these numbers are unprecedented. 10% of the households in Nevada were in some stage of foreclosure over the past year. That number is simply unprecedented as far back as these numbers can be tracked.
Sharga says property foreclosures across the country in 2009 added up to a new record, 2.8 million.
You wind up with 2.2% of all the households in the country receiving a foreclosure notice over the course of the year.
And he worries even that doesn't give a true picture of how bad it really is.
The numbers probably would have been significantly worse. The unfortunate reality is in most cases, the programs to slow down the foreclosure tsunami really aren't preventing foreclosures as much as they're just delaying foreclosures.
Sharga offers little hope for any improvement soon, with more loans on the verge of resetting to higher interest rates in the months ahead. I'm Bob Moon from Marketplace.
All right, let's check stocks. Numbers are up in Asia. They were up as shares closed mostly higher. The Hang Seng lost a little ground today. European markets are up right now, less than 0.5%. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P added 0.8%. The Nasdaq gained more than 1%. And the Dow was up 53 points to end the day at 10,680. Relief efforts continue to pour into Haiti after Tuesday's catastrophic earthquake there. Here at home, cell phones are proving effective at raising money for those in need. Text message contributions have reached $2 million. Organizers say it's the biggest cell phone fundraiser ever. Phone communication to Haiti has been nearly impossible, though. Reporter Sally Herships talked with members of the New York Little Haiti community about their frustrations and their concerns in trying to do something, anything.
Well, I can't send money if I don't know if they're going to know if I send the money. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know who's alive, who's not alive, what happened.
Yes, I have my little brother in Haiti.
And have you heard from him?
Not yet. There's no communication, not yet. I was supposed to send him some money today. We spoke on Saturday. I said to him, I will send him some money today.
I mean, you know, you have family in Haiti. You send money on a regular basis, like almost every month. Even if you don't have families there, then, you know, you're concerned. You want to send money. You want to bring your participation. You're concerned. It's your country.
So we don't send money to Haiti, it's going to be a disaster. So we care about our family. That's why we send money every month for people who are living over there to survive and everything. You know what I mean?
That was Peter Bouchon, Jean-Mario Bollier, Eden Marcel, and Charles Rilutson. Economic damage to Haiti may be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Equicat is a company that builds financial risk models to help insurers prepare for catastrophes. They estimate that as many as 2 million people may be affected by the earthquake and its aftershocks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com.
The Congressional Oversight Panel on the Troubled Asset Relief Program has a new report for the new year. The TARP is expected to be phased out this year, but in today's report, auditors are raising concerns about how the government intends to do that. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the panel. She's with us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So if this report is a look ahead at TARP, I mean, how then do we figure the government puts this program to rest? But also the idea of too big to fail. Is that forever ingrained in the financial system now?
Well, you've really put your finger on it, because this is going to be a tough program to put to rest.
even after we get repaid the money, if we ever get repaid the money, that has been lent out under TARP, we're going to have the lingering memory of the fact that the U.S. government was willing to shovel hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars in, basically to rescue a handful of very large financial institutions.
So how do we fix that? How do we stop them from getting so big?
We have a couple of options. You could break them up. You could decide to tax them. You could decide to regulate them more heavily. Or you can use sort of the far end of it and say we're going to change the basic rules about bankruptcy and liquidation so that it is possible to break them up if they get into financial trouble and to liquidate them.
Well, when all of this was sort of being hammered out in, what was it, September of 08, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it?
you think it seems like 100 years ago to you? You haven't been down in Washington doing this.
well, the original purpose going in was about toxic assets, right?
Oh,
I mean, we were talking about getting rid of toxic assets, and all of a sudden, you know, here we are a year and a half later, and we're still dealing with toxic assets. That hasn't been discussed. I mean, why?
Well, this is one of the things that's most deeply troubling about this bailout. But the underlying issues, the problems that brought us to the brink of collapse, have not yet been resolved. It seems to me that we still face a lot of fragility and a lot of risk, and we got to start changing some rules here. We got to start dealing with these big financial institutions, and we need to do it now.
Professor Elizabeth Warren, chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, there's a new cabinet position in Washington, sort of. Tourism officials in D.C. are hoping the honorary Secretary of Romance can bring some couples and their money into the district. The unofficial official will announce a new so-called stimulus plan today after being sworn in. And in case you're wondering who this cabinet Cupid is, sex expert and former TV host Dr. Ruth Westheimer, back in the spotlight. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.